So today, Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the sequel to yesterday's story about Haridas Thakur saves the prostitute, saves and shaves the prostitute. She came and with some ulterior motive, but she had some humility and respect for devotees and for Tulsi. She paid her obeisances. She listened with great patience to his Harikatha, or chanting of the pure name. She came for 3 days. So after 3 days of hearing and submissive hearing and proper respect and a non-envious attitude towards Haridas Thakur, because she was somewhat cultured, she was actually a cultured Hindu prostitute. So when she approached the cave of Haridas Thakur at midnight, and she saw Tulsi, she firstly automatically offered obeisances to Tulsi, because there were samskaras being born a Hindu. So she showed respect, and she saw the saint whom she was coming to defile or to break his vow. She saw the saint Haridas Thakur chanting his mala and his kuti. And then she saw, well, this is a great Vaishnava, and she again automatically paid obeisances to Param Vaishnav. And she sat down and began her work of trying to entice him physically and verbally, which is a repeat of what we already spoke. And then he said yes. He was very cordial and very friendly. Ajatashatru. There are no enemies ever born for a Vaishnava. So he was very friendly. He said, yes, welcome, please sit down, and I'll certainly fulfill your desire. Because the devotees are just like desire trees. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, right? Full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. She came with a desire, because she was on hire by Ramchandra. Ramchandra Khan was one envious zamindar, landholder, in that village. He was envious because this Muslim had become a great Hindu saint, was getting respect all throughout the countryside, and eclipsing his own fame as a wealthy person. And he was becoming, of course, envious of competition, as everyone does. So he wanted to ruin this person, Haridas Thakur. But he picked the wrong prostitute, because this prostitute happened to be, she had bhakti samskaras. She had bhakti samskaras. So in the presence of such a saint, all these samskaras came out, and she exhibited all good Vaishnavi qualities: humility, tolerance, patience. She came at midnight, and she sat patiently. She spoke a few things, and he said, yes, relax, don't get all excited. As soon as I finish my chanting, I'll fulfill your desires. So she sat for 6 hours, attentively listening to the Shudranam of Haridas Thakur. We can't sit for 2 hours, and we have no other mission but to hear the holy name. She had another mission. You would think she would be restless, impatient, biting her fingernails. Come on, let's go, get on with it. She patiently waited and heard. And even the first night, she was chanting Parihasanam. She was joking. He was saying Hare Krishna. She was saying Hari Hari, oh my Lord, Hari Hari. She was imitating him and joking. Hari Hari, oh yeah, yeah, sure. Hari Hari, 1 o'clock. Hari Hari, 2. Hari Hari, 3, 4, 5. Well, the sun is coming up, I have to go. And she left. Then she told her master, her boss, Ramchandra Khan, yes, tonight, he promised, I'll return and try. So she went back, and this time again obeisance to Tulsi, again obeisance to Haridas. Again she sat down. And this time, she wasn't jokingly chanting Hari Hari. She was hearing him chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then she started sincerely saying, Hari, 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 oh my Lord, Hari, Hari. And then, so the medicine was working. The behavior, she had proper sadachar. She was exhibiting proper sadachar due to her culture, proper sadachar towards Tulsi and Vaishnava. And she was hearing, and she was spending hours at the feet of Haridas Thakur, listening to the Shudranam. And then on the third night, the first 2 nights she came at midnight. On the third night, because she was so much ruchi had come, Vaishnava ruchi, and so much attachment had come in her heart an attraction to the saint that she couldn't keep herself away. Rather than coming at midnight, she came at sunset. She came the third night. She came at sunset. She couldn't wait till midnight because she wanted to be with Haridas Thakur. She had intense vritti, intense attachment, and feelings to be with Haridas Thakur. And on that night, after that night passed, she submitted herself. She repented. The holy name purified her heart, Chaitodarvana Marjanam, and she submitted at the lotus feet of her guru. Her Shiksha guru became her Diksha guru. It was her Vartman Pradarshan guru. He showed her the way, and she submitted at his feet and said, "Oh Guru Dev, oh please, oh spiritual master, please accept me. I had all wrong ideas, and my heart was full of lust and greed, and I've done so many sins, and I've come here. Please forgive me. And please accept me as your disciple and bless me with the holy name." This is all told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Haridas Thakur says, "Yes, I know everything. I knew everything about the nefarious plan of Ramchandra Khan. And I had planned to leave here 3 days ago and go on Madhukari and go to the next village. But I remained here to save you." And shave you. "To save you. That's why I've stayed here. Yes, I will give you the holy name. Now distribute all your wealth to the brahmanas, all your ill-gotten wealth. And you stay in this kuti. This is my bhajan stali. This is my siddhastali. My bhajan siddhastali. You stay here and do bhajan. You chant the Mahamantra. And you worship Tulsi. Nirantara nam lao Tulsi sevan." So he says, you take the holy name without stop and you serve Tulsi. And everything will be adjusted. Krishna will manage everything. Don't worry. So then Haridas Thakur left. Then the prostitute was called Vaishya. Vaishya means prostitute. So Krishna's Kaviraj was describing her as a Vaishya, as a prostitute. And after those 3 days with Haridas Thakur, although she had such a fallen and degraded and low background, after simply 3 days of hearing Shuddha Nam and exhibiting from her side proper behavior, tolerance, patience, respect, all very good qualities that she showed towards Tulsi and towards the Vaishnava. Hari Guru Vaishnava, Seva. After 3 days, when she began her bhajan, then she became so pure that all the brahmanas, all the most exalted mahants and brahmanas from the whole district were coming to take her darshan. And very soon it became spread that she had become, in the words of Krishna's Kaviraj, she became a prasiddha. A prasiddha Vaishnavi and a parama mahanti. A prasiddha means perfect prasiddha Vaishnavi, a most topmost elevated Vaishnavi. Lavamatra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Lavamatra. Lavamatra can be 3 days, Lavamatra can be 3 seconds, Lavamatra can be 3 years. This is Lavamatra, has different meanings depending, because 3 years is also a moment. Lavamatra means a moment. Sarusanga, sarusanga, sarvashastahoy, lavamatra, sarusanga, sarvasiddhihoy. Sarvasiddhihoy, you can attain perfection and with a moment's association with a saintly person. So generally, a lavamatra is a few seconds. But that's in now time. From morning to night, a lavamatra is a few seconds. But if you take lavamatra and use the standard of time, not 24-hour standard of time, but eternal time as a standard, and how many eons of years we've been in the material world, then lavamatra becomes 3 years. If you've been in the material world for 3 million years, or we've been here for 3 million years, and out of those 3 million years you spend 3 days or 3 years with a sadhu, that's a moment, isn't it? 3 years out of 30 million years is only a moment. So lavamatra can also mean this. So in 3 days she attains siddhi, sarva siddhi hoy. She became prasiddha Vaishnavi and Parama Mahanti. And everyone came for darshan. And of course, I forgot to say, she shaved her head and she gave away all her dresses and possessions. It says, so that's why we're joking, that this is the story of Haridas Thakur saves the prostitute and shaves the prostitute. Saves and shaves the prostitute. So now, the sequel to this story is today's story, which is called Ramchandra Khan eats the fruit of Vaishnav Aparad. So this is kind of the downside. We heard what happened to the good guys. In other words, people that behave properly, they win. People that misbehave, they lose. Right? That's the basic moral of the story. You behave properly, you're rewarded. So the prostitute, although seemingly socially in a degraded position, although a necessary function of society, she was, no one would be happy to see her in public. They're called ladies of the night, society girls, ladies of the night. They're shameful to see in the day. No one will look at the face of a prostitute. It's considered inauspicious, except for the customer. But anyone else in society, it's considered highly inauspicious, except at certain times, certain moments. At any rate, so now Ramchandra Khan, he was the zamindar. So everyone was regularly seeing him day and night. He's collecting taxes and he was dealing with all the people, managing all the property and all the residents. So he was a highly placed personality in society, respectable so-called gentleman. But he had one problem. The biggest problem he had was that he was envious. And this is throughout Shastras. Someone may be decorated with bodily beauty, high education, high position, wealth, power, influence, everything. But if he has one bad quality, then all the good qualities become zero. So if the bad quality is envy and is directed towards Bhagavan or his devotees, then that cancels all the good qualities. All the good qualities become zero. So the classic example of Indian history is Ravana. Ravana. Treta Yuga. He was powerful, beautiful, handsome, influential. He was a Brahmin by birth and became Kshatriya by austerities and developing power. Conquered the whole universe. But the big problem was he was envious of God. Ramchandra, you have something that I don't have. That's envy. I have so many ladies, so many wives of demigods are living in my harem in Lanka. I have so many celestials and apsaras living with me and serving me day and night. But I'm envious of you because your one Sita is more beautiful than every single girl in my harem. Your one Sita makes all the celestial ladies in my harem or my palace look like chamaras, look like bungies and street sweepers. So I want what you have, right? You have Sita, I want her, at all costs. I'll risk my name, my fame, my body, my life, everything, my kingdom, but I must have that. So he was envious, and envy killed him, and a lot of his relatives too, and brothers and sons and everything. Finished, one stroke, one quality, finish everything. So Ramchandra Khan, this story will kind of show us that same conclusion. This is Antyalila, chapter 3, verse 143. Veshara charita deki loke chamatkar haridasara mahima kahi kari namaskar. Seeing the sublime character, charitra, chamatkar. Charitra chamatkar, the amazing, wonderful, astonishing character. Let's say seeing the character, Deki Charitra, the Loke, they became astonished. Excuse me. How is it possible? And then everyone glorified the influence of Haridas Thakur and offered him obeisances. So this is the glories of Haridas. But because actually you can, if a fruit is tasty, then you glorify the fruit partially, but you glorify the tree more. The tree is the origin of the tasty fruit. So she was glorified for her accomplishment and her transformation. The prostitute was glorified, but it was all due to the mercy of the Vaishnava Kripa. Ramachandra Kana Aparada Bija Kaila Se Bija Brikshahana Agite Palila. By inducing a prostitute to disturb Haridas Thakur, Ramchandra Khan caused a seed of offense at his lotus feet to germinate. This seed later became a tree. When it fructified, Ramchandra Khan ate its fruits. Mahat aparadhera phala adbhuta katan prastava panakahi shuna bhaktagan. The offense at the lotus feet of an exalted devotee has resulted in a wonderful narration. Taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by these incidents, I, Krishna's Kaviraj, shall explain what happened. O devotees, please listen. Shuna Bhaktagan. So he's writing this book 400 years ago on the banks of Shamakund, Krishna's Kaviraj. 430 years ago or so. It was published in 1700 or 16 something, like 400 years ago. 1692, I think. He's writing this book, and he's thinking that, listen, Shuna Bhaktagan, listen, all devotees, I'm going to tell you a very interesting, most adbhuta, a very wonderful story, adbhuta katan, a wonderful narration. Sahaje avaishnava Ramachandra Khan Haridasar aparade Hailayasura Saman. Ramchandra Khan was naturally a non-devotee. Now, having offended the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, he became just like a demoniac atheist, Asura Saman. Vaishnava Dharma Ninda Kari, Vaishnava Apaman, Bahudinera Aparade, Paila Parinam. Because of blaspheming the cult of Vaishnavism and insulting the devotees for a long time, he now received the results of his offensive activities. So apparently he was a long-standing Saru Nindi, or Ninder, or whatever they call it, an offender at the feet of the Vaishnavas. He was regularly offending small-timers. He was regularly offending small-caliber Vaishnavas, and he was getting away with it. Because it is said in Shastra that you can offend someone and get away with it for 3 days, or 3 weeks, or three months, or 3 years. But the longest you can get away with offending a Vaishnava is 3 years. So he offended so many Vaishnavas for maybe 1 or 2 years. A few years, he's very offensive. But when he came up against Haridas Thakur, then he met his match. Because Haridas Thakur is Param Vaishnava. It's called Mahad. It says, Maha Aparad, a great offense at the feet of an exalted devotee. That's a Mahabhagavat. It's a mad, what's it called? Matihati or something. A Matahati. Mad elephant offense. So now that he had offended Haridas Thakur, basically 3 days later, he was finished. Let's see what happened. Nityananda Gosai Gaudi Jabe Aila Prima Pracharite Tabe Brahmite Lagila. When Nityananda returned to Bengal to preach the cult of bhakti, Prem Prachar, Brahmite Lagila, he began Brahmite wandering all over the countryside of Bengal because he was requested by Lord Chaitanya to return to Bengal and preach Prem Dharma, Prem Nam Sankirtan, Prem Prachar. Ramchandra Khan was a great offender at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and Vishnu. Just as Ravana, although born of a Brahmana father, Vishwashrava, Ravana was nevertheless called an Asura or Rakshasa because of his offenses against Lord Ram and Hanuman, a Vaishnava. So Ramchandra Khan also became such an Asura because of his offenses against Haridas Thakur and many others. For two purposes, Nityananda traveled Bengal. One, to spread the cult of bhakti, which means prem prachar, and the other was to defeat and subdue the atheists. Pashanda Dalana. Dalana means Dalana, subdue them, beat them. Lord Nityananda, the most dedicated devotee to the Lord, moved throughout the country. Sarvagya Nityananda Ailatara Gare Asiya Vasila Durga Mandapa Upare. Lord Nityananda, who is omniscient because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came to the house of Ramchandra Khan and sat down on the altar of the Durga Mandap. There's always some mandap in different houses. It's an arrangement. Aneka lokajana sange angana bharila vitara haite rama chandra sevaka potaila. When the Durga Mandap and courtyard became filled with crowds of men, Ramachandra Khan, who was inside the house, sent his servant to Lord Nityananda. In other words, it's a very vast house. This is the outer courtyard, outer area of the house. Nityananda came with his entire entourage, came to the house, and was quite a lot of commotion in the outer area. So then Ramchandra Khan, he didn't know who had arrived. So he sent his servant out to find out, who is that? Who has come with this large entourage causing such a disturbance? Sevaka Bali, Ngosai Mori Patayla Khana, Rihashtera Ghare Tomai, Diva Vasustan. The servant informed Lord Nityananda. He told Lord Nityananda, "My dear sir, Ramchandra Khan has sent me to accommodate you in some common man's house. You cannot stay here in the house of the Zamindar. Goyalara Goshalahaya Atyanta Vistar Ihan Sankirna Stala Tomar Manusha Apar." The servant said, "You might go to the house of a milkman, a goyal, goyalar, for the cowshed is spacious, whereas the space here in my master's Durga Mandap is quite insufficient because you have many followers with you." So basically he was saying, God has come as his atiti. Narayan has come as an atiti Narayan, atiti Narayan. When a guest or a visitor arrives at your house without invitation and unbeknownst to you, it's called off the time or untimely, let's say untimely guest. And the original Vedic culture, that unknown or off the time or that guest who would arrive at the doorstep is considered to be the embodiment of Narayan. That Narayan has come in the form of Manush, as a man or a woman, whatever. And one should treat that guest at the doorstep like Narayan. Please come in. Kind words, sweet words of welcome, and some comfortable asan or seat, and some drinking water, and some nirmalya, Bhagavan nirmalya bhog, some small prasad, some fruit or some sweet, and inquire about their welfare, would they like to rest, are they hungry, this and that. This is the culture, Vedic culture, to receive a guest. It's considered, this reception of the guest is considered titi seva is Narayan seva. So, certainly an unknown guest has come, an atiti has come, but this in this case, it's not an ordinary strange person, but that atiti is Narayan, Sakshat Narayan, Lord Nityananda himself. And so he doesn't even go out personally to greet him, or no water is being offered. He's not even allowed to sit there anymore. The servant comes out and says, excuse me, sir, this is not, you can't stay here with all your people. You got out of here. Go to the Goshala. Of course, little does the servant know that that's quite befitting because Lord Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram loves to be in the Goshala and loves to pet the cows and clean the cows and milk the cows. And that, he loves to be there, but that's in his Krishna Leela. So, the next verse. Bitare achila shuni krode bahir la atatahasi gosai kahite lagila. When Nityananda Prabhu heard this order from the servant of Ramachandra, he became very angry and came out. Laughing very loudly, he spoke as follows. Satyakahi egar mora yogya naya. Mlechago vadakari tara yogya haya. Ramchandra Khan has spoken rightly. This place is unfit for me. It is fit for cow killing meat eaters. Itabali krode gosai utiya chalila tare danda ditte se grame na rahila. Having said this, Lord Nityananda stood up and left in an angry mood to chastise Ramchandra Khan. Nittai did not even stay in that village. What to speak of the Goshal, he left the entire village. Ihan Ramachandra Khan, Sevake Agya Dila, Gosai Yahan Vasila, Tara Matti Kodaila. Ramchandra ordered the servant to dig up the earth where Nityananda Prabhu had sat down. Dig up that earth and throw it away. Not worship it. Not put it on the altar. Not put it around my neck. Dig up that earth and it's contaminated, filthy place. Gomaya jale lepila sabe mandira pangan taburama chandrera mana nahaila parasana. To purify the Durga Mandap temple and courtyard, Ramchandra Khan sprinkled and smeared it with water mixed with cow dung, but still his mind was not satisfied. Dasyu Britti Kare Ramachandra. Dasyu Britti Kare Ramachandra. Oh, Ramachandra Rajari Nadheya Kare. Krudahanam Lacha Ujira Aila Taragara. Ramchandra Khan's business was questionable. He tried to avoid paying taxes to the government. See, the zamindar, the landholder, would collect taxes from all the people using the land to grow crops and maintain shops or whatever. Then he would keep a portion of that tax collection, then give the balance to the king of the region or to the emperor. So, cheating propensity as it is, he kept more than his share and gave less to the emperor, to the government, the Muslim emperor, or the minister above him. Asise Durga Mandape Vasakaila Avadya Vadakari Mamsa Segari Randaila. The Muslim minister came to Ramachandra's house and he made his residence in the Durga Mandap of Ramchandra Khan. The Muslim minister killed a cow and cooked meat at that very spot. Sri Putra Sahita Ramachandra Bandiya Taragara Grama Lute Tina Dina Rahiya. He arrested Ramchandra Khan along with his wife and sons, and then he continuously plundered the house and village for 3 days. Segari Tina Dina Kare Amedya Randan Aradina Savalana Karila Gaman. In that very room of the Durga Mandap of Ramchandra Khan's ghar or house, the Muslim minister cooked flesh of a cow for 3 consecutive days. Then the next day he left, accompanied by his followers. Jatidana Janakanera Sakala Laila Bahudina Paryanta Grama Ujara Rahila. The Muslim minister took away Ramchandra's position, wealth, and followers. For many days, the village remained deserted. Everyone ran away. When the Muslim minister came to town, all the pious Hindus ran away. They thought maybe he would kill them or burn down the village. They didn't know what he would do, because they're unpredictable. Mahantera apamanaye desha grame hai ekajanara doshe sava desha ujadhai. Whenever an advanced devotee, wherever an advanced devotee is insulted, for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. So this is the story of Ramchandra Khan eats the fruits of his Vaishnava Parad. Very short story, but emphasizes the point about how careful we have to be in our dealings, and that how we become so foolish when we commit aparad. We become very foolish and we cannot see things as they really are. our understanding of reality becomes distorted, and we forget proper behavior, and we forget how to deal. So this Ramchandra Khan, his servant, he didn't greet Lord Nityananda. Rather, he offended him and drove him away. And then he got this reaction. He offended, because see, they usually come in pairs, just like cobras. They come in pairs. The husband cobra and the wife cobra. I don't know if they call them husband and wife, but let's say the male cobra and the female cobra. They always travel in two. Not necessarily, not exactly like birds. Birds always go side by side. If you see one bird here, there's never only one bird. You have to just look and you'll see the other bird. If that's the male parrot, then you look and you can find the female is just nearby, keeping an eye on him or whatever. And then he'll fly off, and as soon as he flies off from the ground, then she'll join him from the tree. They always move everywhere together, birds. Their marriage begins at birth. When a male pops out of the shell in the nest, he comes out. Then a female comes out of the other egg. Then they look at each other, and it's love at first sight. And the parrot says, "Oh, you look so good. I can't live without you. You're my everything. Please, will you marry me?" And I said, "Well, sure. Will you fly off with me? Will you be a runaway bride with me?" And then she says, "Sure, let's fly." So then one day they fly off together and live happily ever after. So this is bird marriage. But snakes, they're also together, but the one cobra will be there and maybe some short distance behind the other cobra, and they smell, they follow the path. So one will come shortly after the other. So it's enjoined in Shastra, if one has to kill or does kill a cobra, he should surely burn the cobra for different reasons. That's a type of sanskara. It's a type of cremation for that cobra. By burning, then it also burns up his karma and he gets a higher promotion. That's a favor that the human... If he's killed by a human being, it's a favor. He goes up an evolutionary scale. I think he even becomes a human next life. If he just goes around the fields here and there and dies, then he just goes from snake to whatever, beast or whatever. He goes up slowly up the evolutionary scale until he comes to the higher form. So it's kind of a promotion if he gets killed by a human being, because then they burn him. And then there's also a ritual where you put some cloth from the man's shirt or something. You put the kerosene on that, and then you burn the snake. There's a whole lot behind it. And so they get elevated. Just like if an animal, one is a dog. He's a dog, he'll have to go through so many births before he becomes a human being again. But if he gets prasadam, the next life he becomes a human being. Immediately he jumps, he skips a grade. You're in third grade and you're supposed to go to fourth grade class, fifth grade. If you're very precocious and intelligent, then you go from third grade to sixth grade, or from sixth grade to high school, because you're very intelligent, genius type. You get promotion. So that's just a sidelight. So the one cobra follows the other cobra. This is just an analogy. But when you kill the first one, of course, that's a benefit for him and all these things I was telling. This ritual, this is a sanskara that's done. Then the female, when she comes, she can't trace out what happened to him. She can't follow the smell because it goes to a certain point. Then she can't follow where he is because he was knocked and then burned. And they say that the female, or male, whatever it is, their eye is like a cell phone. Like in the back of your cell phone, you have a camera. So their eye is like a camera. So whoever kills them, because they're looking very intently. If someone's going to kill you, you're certainly going to be looking. They're looking very intently when they're getting, and they take a picture of the person that kills them in their eye, and that picture is there. So when the mate comes, it looks into the eye and says, "Oh, this is the person who killed my mate, my partner." If the eye is still there, if it's burned up, it's not there. Then they go and look. Where is that person? Oh, there he. Oh, and they go. Oh, this house. Maybe he's in this house. And they go, and they see. Oh, there's that person. And then so much poison. When they bite, just like fighting. When you're fighting with someone, you can, like a husband fights his wife, he goes like, he just gives a little slap, open hand. Like, ow. But if he closes his hand and put all his force in it, then the wife is out the window, down the stairs, and back home, back to Godhead. But usually husbands aren't so merciful, and they don't liberate their wives, so they just give them a little few taps and a few bruises here and there. Because, you know, they're not in a preaching mood. When they get in a preaching mood, then maybe they give the full swipe. So the same thing with cobras. When they bite, if you've killed my husband, and I come to bite you, I'm gonna put my full bite. I'm gonna really bite you. I'm gonna really pump, because the tooth and the fangs is a pump. There's a small pump there, and they can pump the venom, the poison stored in a sac, the venom sac. They can go. They go. Just like, you know, they go. They squeeze every drop of poison that's inside their venom sac into your bloodstream to guarantee that you won't be killing any more snakes. Hari Bol. Jai Shri Radhe. So we want to kill the snakes of material desire, one by one. So they go in pairs. If you offend a devotee, usually offend the Lord. If you offend the Lord, usually offend the devotee. This is the whole point of the analogy, is that Ramchandra Khan made Vaishnava aparad heavy, big time. He made little aparads, then he made big time aparad to Haridas Thakur. And then because the Lord always follows his devotee. It says, Vishnu Chakravarti says that the dust, the devotee may forgive an offender, but the dust of the feet of the devotee doesn't. The raj, the Vaishnav raj, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnav does not forgive the offender. That dust is Krishna. Krishna is traveling in the dust behind the Vaishnava's feet. He follows the Vaishnava. That dust, it does not forget. That's Krishna. He doesn't forgive. It's very difficult. So one has to be very, very genuine and sincere about the repentance to get forgiven. He can get forgiven. But he says the dust, even if a Vaishnava forgives, the dust may not forgive. Krishna may not forgive. In this case, Ramchandra didn't do anything repentive. He offended Haridas Thakur wholesale. And then God himself, who follows behind a devotee, he's following right behind Haridas comes Nityananda. What fortune. Just imagine if Nityananda came to his house, the ultimate redeemer, the Mahapatitapava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Patitapavan avatar. He purifies even the most fallen. But who is Nityananda? Mahapatita Pavan. Because Jagai and Madai, they were going to be murdered, killed by Lord Chaitanya. But Nityananda interceded on behalf of these rogues. He said, no. So who is more merciful? Who is more kind and purifying? Nityananda. He saved Jagai and Madai. He preached to them to begin with. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't waste time with them. Lord Chaitanya was preaching to pundits and Brahmins and scholars. You see, who are the category of people Lord Chaitanya preached to? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Sar, all Mahants and Acharyas and Gurus and pundits, big people, the Tattvavadis, the Shankarites, the Tattvavadis, the pundits, the Goswamis, all big people. But Nityananda went among the derelicts and the derelicts and dregs of society, the hippies of the Lower East Side. Nityananda went there and preached, or his Nityananda Shakti, his representative, Srila Prabhupada. So Nityananda went to preach to the most fallen. So he's Mahapatita Pavan. He's a purifier of the Mahapatit, the most fallen. So how unfortunate is Ramchandra Khan was that Nityananda himself came to his house. So he really, really made a big blunder. So we are warned in this story to be very careful about offending the Vaishnavas. Just see the difference. Ramchandra was fabulous, all kinds of wealth and name and fame, position and land, and then he became nothing. He lost his house and his name, fame, following everything. Practically lost his life. He was lucky. But in the prostitute, on the other hand, because of her proper behavior, because she didn't offend the Vaishnava, she honored the Vaishnava from the onset. She was non-envious. She was never envious of Haridas Thakur. She was respectful and humble. Although she was ill-motivated, but that was her business. She was paid to be that way. But her natural expression of her heart was humility. Humility before Tulsi and respect before the Vaishnava. And she, how fortunate she was. She heard Shudanam for 3 days. So Ramchandra Khan is a great, is actually a great well-wisher for the prostitute. That's probably why Nityananda didn't arrange to kill him. We can read into the story. It's not told. It's not fully elaborated. Maybe in other places it may be. I haven't seen. But we might ask the question, well, he lost, because usually, oftentimes, if you offend Bhagavan and the Vaishnava, you can get killed. Ravana was envious, and did he live? No, he didn't live. He lost his kingdom, and he lost his palace and everything, and he got killed. So Ramchandra was also envious of God and the Vaishnavas, but he didn't get killed. So why? What is the difference between Ramchandra and Ravana? So we have to think about that. So one difference is that an associate of his became a pure devotee. His former, and who knows how closely tied he was with the prostitute. So he sent her to and then, but he sent her. So he was the Vartman Pradarshika Guru. Ramchandra Khan was indirectly or unknowingly acting as a guru. So yes, go to Haridas Thakur and defile him. Little did he know that she was going to get liberated. So maybe she, we don't know what she was thinking. Maybe she was thinking, oh wow, all glories to Ramchandra Khan. Although it was the wrong thing that he was engaging me in, but she must feel some part of herself grateful to Ramchandra Khan. Even though he sent me on a bad mission, misbehavior, but I have to be thankful, because if he didn't send me to Haridas Thakur, where would I be today? I would still be a prostitute, wallowing in ignorance and sinful life, destined to suffer in the future. But because, so she can say, in one level, she can say, all glories to Ramchandra Khan. By his mercy, I got the sadhus, I got the association of Haridas, and I got liberated. So you have to feel grateful. Just like there is one guy, Big Red. There's this one guy in Los Angeles, his name is Big Red. He was like, one of those kind of people. And he lived in Santa Monica, and he told me, I met him at the health food store in 1973. He said, have you ever been to the Hare Krishna temple in La Siena, Watsika Avenue? I said, no, but I bumped into them over the years, but I haven't really thought much about them. I've been busy with my schooling and everything. So why don't you come with me to the temple on Sunday? In 73, 4, like this beginning. I said, all right, let's go. So we got on the Venice Boulevard bus, and went down Venice Boulevard to the temple. And then when I entered the temple, everything was so familiar, actually. And in Los Angeles, Rupini Dwarkesh, I felt very happy there. And I met Dhanavir. Dhanavir Goswami was there, and Urjaswat, and then we became friends, and I'd regularly go. But I can never forget Big Red. And Big Red had met Prabhupada, he'd seen him, and he was engaging in, he was a dealer of various herbs and spices to the public. If you can understand what that means. He's a pansari wala, so to speak. He didn't have any official shop. He would just deal, here and there. So Big Red, so he took me a few times, and then I met him at the health food store. He said, how do you like it? I said, I like it. I'm thinking maybe I move in. And I didn't see him for a few months because he went to Boulder, Colorado for a while, whatever, here and there, doing his business. But in the interim, I joined the temple. So then he came one Sunday because he would regularly come to get prasadam because he'd get a little hungry sometimes. And then I was shaved up. And he came and he met me. He was surprised because he said, you joined! I mean, because he'd been coming for 10 or 15 years. He never joined. He never really surrendered. I said, yes, somehow I got captured. I'm in love with Krishna or whatever. So so then I said, yeah, somehow it's happening. So he said, wow, you're really lucky. I've been trying for 15 years, but somehow it just doesn't happen, this and that. So then I didn't see him for years because I left the L.A. and this and that and this and that. That was 1974, five. And then in 1995, I was in Kumbh Mela, like 21 years later, in Allahabad. And we were walking to the Sangam to take bath in the afternoon. We were there for 1 month, and all these different baths we were taking. And then I saw this guy with this, you know, hair, big red, he had this red hair. And I was like, oh, this kind of guys. I looked, I said, my God, is that, that's the same guy 21 years ago, it was like that, and it's still like that. Is that Big Red? And I said, Big Red. And he said, I don't know, whatever he said. I guess he remembered my name or something like that. And then, because he saw me now, I'm a sannyasi, right? He said, well, he said, you really got into it. I mean, you're a sannyasi and everything. I said, well, I don't know what I am, but, you know, somehow. I said, well, what are you doing? You know, it's a long way, Allahabad from Los Angeles. He said, yeah, some of my friends, my customers, you know, they were going here and they took me this, that, you know. They said there's a lot of herbs and spices over here. So I came. I'd never been to India. I had so much familiarity with ISKCON. I wanted to go, but I never could get the money together because life is like that. So we sat and talked about old times and this and that. And I was so happy to see Big Red. And I can never forget him, because whatever he is or was or will be, that Krishna knows. But all I know is, for me, I have good thoughts about him in my heart. He's a very nice person, actually, but he is working out his karma, as they say. And so Big Red was a very valuable person in my life to bring me to Krishna. So Ramchandra Khan, I could think in a similar way, the prostitute could think that, well, whatever happened to him, it's unfortunate, but he didn't die. He still had a chance to pull his life together and try to rectify himself. And maybe he got some realization after all this happened in the village. Maybe he woke up to his senses and became properly situated. So she would be indebted like this, that he, Ramchandra Khan, sent me to Haridas Thakur. And I went from Vaishya to Parama Vaishnavi, or Prasiddha Vaishnavi and Parama Mahanti. So this is a story.